This is Health First with Kathy Hart, available across Canada through the National Campus and Community Radio Association.
We are back with Stephanie Rubino. She's a naturopathic physician helping us understand all about our blood sugar and how we can monitor it and how we can keep it in line. So we've gone through supplements and exercise, stress management. How important is a good night's sleep?
Well, our good night's sleep is definitely key for overall health in so many areas, especially when it comes to blood sugar levels. Maintaining that natural rhythm that our body needs is key in terms of, you know, managing our stress hormones and even managing our appetite hormones, which, you know, really play a key role in preventing those cravings, right? Mm-hmm. And our steps to consuming more sugary snacks and refined grain products and high caffeine. So our natural circadian rhythms can trigger high blood glucose or raise the risk for diabetes if they're disturbed. So getting, you know, too little sleep, poor quality sleep, or even sleeping at the wrong times can impair insulin secretion, even if we don't change our diet. So good night's sleep is key, really aiming to get 7 to 9 hours of sleep per night, and really trying to stick to, a normal sleep-wake schedule, going to bed at the same time each evening and waking up at the same time, really key in order to achieve balance, moderate stress responses, and making sure we have enough energy during the day to, you know, select proper foods and exercise as well.
Mm-hmm. So sometimes when we're craving that sugary snack, it can be just from lack of a good night's sleep.
Lack of a good night's sleep, that's going to impact our cortisol levels and other appetite hormones. Exactly.
Mm-hmm. What kind of foods, like if we're having a little bit of sugar, how do we slow that sugar down in our systems? Are there other foods that we can add that would slow the sugar down so we don't get a spike in our sugar?
Fiber. Definitely key in terms of slowing the absorption of our sugars. Of course, high fiber foods will move through the body undigested. It helps to delay the absorption of our sugars to help regulate healthy blood sugar levels. Mm-hmm. So definitely including fiber foods at each meal, really important, you know, breakfast, lunch, dinner, or however you're setting up your meal times throughout the day. We can always add, you know, some key fruits and vegetables, nuts, seeds, and legumes, even chia seeds, ground flax. These are all, you know, great additions to each meal to get that extra fiber in there. And if you do have some difficulty getting some high fiber foods in your diet, then looking at a supplement form of fiber to help augment that a little bit is great.
Okay. Stephanie, how important is protein to our insulin levels?
Protein is key, so I always say, you know, the combination of protein, healthy fats, and high fiber are really, really important. Protein impacts blood sugar to a small extent, so, you know, you want to make sure that you are selecting really healthy sources of protein to manage your blood sugar levels. So high-quality protein foods are free of carbohydrates. They won't impact your blood sugar levels in the body. And they will actually work to modify some of the hormones that help to control hunger. They will help you, you know, feel full for a longer period of time during the day, so you won't be snacking and craving some of those sugary foods to kind of give you that kick, right? Mm-hmm. During the day. So definitely looking at, you know, high protein foods, eggs, you know, grass-fed beef, full-fat dairy products, wild-caught fish, really key to incorporate.
Okay. And to keep the blood sugar balanced, is there a specific time to eat? Like, should we shorten the time between our meals or snacking? Do we get up and break the fast right away? How do we work it if we're really being conscious of our blood sugar?
So I always find that really depends on the individual in terms of the timing of their meals. You know, if someone engages in intermittent fasting, they may find that that to be the most beneficial approach for them. Other people benefit from, you know, eating a little bit throughout the day. You know, when we have really balanced meals, we're less prone to snacking. So really balancing the, again, the healthy fats and the protein and the fiber will be really key in terms of helping maintain our blood sugar levels throughout the day. And again, it depends on the individual. Some people really prefer waking up and having a breakfast. They find that best for their blood sugar levels. Other people will engage in an intermittent fasting approach. If you are diabetic, I don't recommend going full-fledged into the intermittent fasting pattern right away. Definitely kind of ease into it. You may want to do a 12-hour eating pattern with a 12-hour fasting pattern. That might be a better approach if you find that your blood sugar levels are not regulated throughout the day.
Hmm. Is there better beverages for us and less beverages which are less helpful? What should we be looking for in just hydration?
Drink is, you know, just as important as to what we eat. So definitely sticking with spring water, herbal teas, even a little bit of coffee is okay as long as it's not sweetened with, you know, some refined sugars. Mm-hmm. These are better choices compared to some of our fruit juices and energy and sports drinks. Even being mindful of alcohol consumption, especially sweetened alcohol drinks that will have a higher sugar content. But definitely water is definitely your best friend.
Okay. And if I was to have an alcoholic drink, is there, what's the least causing problems to your blood sugar?
Wine would be a good option. I think some of the gins, that sort of thing, would be okay. Mm-hmm. Again, moderation, to limited amounts.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Any other tips for eating to control your blood sugar?
You know, one of the biggest things I think is planning. You know, what are you going to eat during the day? Making sure you plan your meals so you are getting the nutrients that you need, that you're eating properly. It's really key in terms of helping you, you know, not skip meals and not snack too often. I often encourage my patients to record what they eat. I think this really helps to keep track of what people are eating during the day, brings a lot of awareness, and really keeps people accountable in terms of what they're eating and the choices that they are making. And I often like, you know, introducing the plate method to my patients. This really helps in terms of controlling the amount of carbohydrates that you eat in a day. And the plate method is basically, if you can imagine your plate, you know, half of it would be filled with non-starchy veggies. So our leafy greens and broccoli and carrots. And in addition to that, you would have a source of protein, generally the size of your palm, and a little bit of whole grains. If you are consuming whole grains, generally the serving size would be the size of your fist. This really allows for a nice balanced meal. To that, you can add some healthy fats as well. And I think that's really key and a really good additional tip to helping to control blood sugar levels. Mm.
What would be some signs if we were having blood sugar issues that weren't regulated?
Yep, so biggest thing I would look for is fatigue. I often see people sort of commenting on low energy levels throughout the day, as well as headaches. This is big and a big sign of, you know, blood sugar levels going up and down. Also look for cravings for, you know, sugar and carbohydrates. Some people might experience weight fluctuations, changes in mood, such as nervousness, and other things as you, you know, go into later stages. And if there's, you know, a picture of diabetes not being controlled, of course, that can lead to impact on some of our small blood vessels that supply our kidneys and retina and nerves. So longer term, if people are, you know, experiencing persistent hyperglycemia. You know, they'll notice changes with visions and poor healing and nerve damage. So if you notice anything in the early stages of, you know, high and low blood sugar levels, like I mentioned, such as the fatigue and the headaches, et cetera, get checked out. You know, this is getting your blood sugar levels is tested is very easy. So definitely speak to your health care provider to get assessed.
And who are most likely at risk? Is there some things that would make us more at risk?
So individuals who have a family history of diabetes or insulin resistance should be mindful. You know, those of us who may engage in poor eating habits may, you know, consume more refined sugars and grains and artificial ingredients and packaged foods may be more at risk. As we mentioned, the role of stress and sleep, right? Mm-hmm. So if we are encountering chronic stress, poor sleep habits, this may also be triggers. So definitely those tend to be the people more at risk.
And what are some final words of wisdom, whether you're hyperglycemic or hypoglycemic, to handle your day and be very conscious of it?
Yep. So again, I would say, you know, keep track of the symptoms that you are experiencing. Keep a journal. Note when you might be experiencing certain signs and symptoms. Take the time to record what you're eating and drinking throughout the day. What's your sleep like? What's your stress level? That gives you a better picture of what's going on, and really will help to highlight what areas need more attention. You know, are you finding you're skipping meals throughout the day and didn't realize that? Are you not drinking enough water throughout the day? So recording what's happening in your life, I think, is a really key first step, and that will help guide what you need to do in order to support yourself and your blood sugar levels.
So good. So much good information. Thank you so much, Stephanie, for coming on Health First Radio today and teaching us all about controlling blood sugar.
Thank you.
Okay. We'll be right back after a quick break.